lovers, and welcome to the Liberty Mike podcast, broadcasting from an undisclosed location in the heart of Dixie. I am Michael, and I'm here finally with Liberty Larry.
How's it going?
Doing good. How are you?
Tired.
Yeah. All right. Well,
another long week. Yeah. But hey, we made it. Like, I'm here.
Way to go. Way to go. Glad you're here.
Way to set the bar, right?
I arrived.
Showed up.
Yeah, well, I mean, that is the bar in this country these days, isn't it?
Yep. Yeah, I showed up. Pay me.
Right. Oh, gosh. Ooh. We could talk about that.
Right?
How many of your employees are like that?
Not enough. I need more of them to do the showing up part.
Fair enough. I guess that's why that's the bar.
That's the bar, man. You showed up. Hey, I'll take it, man. That means I get to go home. Game on. Like,
just showing up is not enough in my business.
Oh, it's not in mine either, but that's where the bar is.
Okay. Well, that sucks.
Yeah, well, it's part of it.
Yeah.
It'll get better. It's like I said last week, a rough couple of weeks here, and then things will get back to normal. So
once you replace that.
Yeah. Once I hire some more people and get through inventory, I'll be in good shape.
Cool. So we should be here next week.
Yeah. I see no reason to think so. Hopefully at more closer to the normal time, right?
Yeah, I hope so. Uh-huh. Although we're still talking about moving to Friday, right?
Yeah. I think Friday will be our new day going forward here, at least soon. So by that standard, we're only a day late.
True.
If we're making that the standard.
When we got the Atticus Finch Award for Excellence in Communication for the podcast from the Libertarian Party of Alabama a few years back.
Yeah.
And in the introduction to us, the LPA chair at the time said that they did 39 podcasts last year. And I remember... I remember getting up at the microphone and being like, yeah, we're a weekly podcast, so we only missed a quarter
of our recordings.
Of our recordings in the last year. Oh, gosh.
We've gotten better since then. That was a wake-up call.
Yeah, we have gotten better since then. We strive to get something out.
Every week.
Yeah. I mean, we still don't succeed in that, but
life
is hard, man.
Dude, well, yeah, I mean, this is just kind of a like I said, we have real jobs.
Yeah.
So
if anybody wants to pay me enough to not have to do my other job and just do this, I promise we'll be more consistent and better prepared.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Same here. That goes double for me.
Michael at thelibertymike.com. Contact me anytime.
All right.
So there was some legislation in Alabama. Somebody brought this up to me at work. I wasn't even aware. As many of the listeners may know, actually, maybe not. I don't even remember if we were doing it. No, we weren't doing it the podcast at the time. So I ran for Board of Education.
Oh, we were totally doing the podcast then.
No, that was 2018.
You sure?
We started the podcast in 2019. Yeah, because it was an off-year election that I ran, wasn't it?
I think it was an off-year election.
Yeah, that was 2018. It wasn't 2022.
Okay. Well, maybe we weren't doing the podcast then.
Yeah.
I thought we were, but maybe not.
I don't think we were. Whatever.
Either way.
Yeah.
Either way, you ran for office.
I ran for office.
How did that go?
I got 1 out of 6 people who actually voted.
Actually
voted for me.
Yeah.
The rest of them voted straight ticket.
Dude, I was talking about
like 2/3 of the voting populace in our county, straight ticket.
Yeah, the straight ticket voting, man, that's really got to go. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, it's horrible.
So I got 6% of the vote, but that's not bad for somebody running as a libertarian in a 3-way race in this county.
Yeah. Oh no, absolutely.
I didn't feel like it was a failure. And I got to get in front of people and talk a few times. And this is one of the things that I talked about. And I had so many challenges about it when I was done.
Oh, yeah.
Because people had weird ideas of what it was that I was trying to promote, which was school choice.
Yeah.
And all I was saying is that that any student should be able to attend any public school that they can get to.
Yeah. It's funny. It's been a week or two ago, but I had an employee that's had her... both one of her kids is having issues at the school that they go to. And I got to talking to her about, I was like, man, like if Mike had won and like had gotten what he wanted done for a school board, like that wouldn't be a problem for you. You could, your son could go to any school you drive him to in Baldwin County.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I wouldn't have gotten done what I wanted done.
No, but
certainly I would have been the lone voice pushing for that at the time. Yeah. But we got lucky here in Alabama and had it done at the state level.
So is it, did it pass?
Yep. Yeah, it's been signed by KIV and everything.
So when will it take effect?
2025.
Hey, that's still pretty cool, though. Mm-hmm. So is it like what we were proposing? Like, so if you want... Oh, okay. Well, dang it. Like, I was getting really excited. You got me all... I was like, man, like, this is really happening.
No, this is a case of government can't relinquish control.
Okay.
So the CHOOSE Act is what it's called here in Alabama. And they're kind of phasing it in. So at the beginning, the eligible students, are children of families that are less than 300% of the federal poverty level, three times the level of the federal poverty level.
Okay.
Okay. So in terms of income, roughly speaking, if it's, a parent and child and they're the only people in the household, two-party household.
Yeah.
Then it's roughly $60,000 a year. Three-person household, it's $75,000, and four-person household, it's
$90,000.
Okay. So,
and these families have an option to take their kids to a different school?
Yeah, to attend other approved schools, and there's an approval process through the state and so on and so on.
Sounds like a lot of red tape.
Yeah, and the way it works is they don't just get to go there. They get an education savings account through the state.
Okay.
And I mean, there's some good sides to this. So it's $7,000 per student in the education savings account.
Yeah.
To pay for educational expenses, whether that be private school tuition. As I understand it, I didn't know this before, but public schools will allow you to attend out of district, but they charge an additional fee.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. So it could be to pay for that additional fee, which I guess would also be tuition. Books, tutoring, you know, like just a bunch of education
stuff you may need,
expenses.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, the upside of the educational savings account is that they're not just like giving the money to the parents. So... Yeah. Because the first thing I thought when I heard about this is like, well, there's no reason for any parent that's eligible not to take their kid to the next nearest school. Right. If they get $7,000 a year just for taking their kid to another school.
Yeah.
Since it has to be paid directly to the education, the provider of the books or the tutoring or the school itself or whatever, at least they've prevented that possibility.
Yeah.
Right. However, there's still plenty more room for corruption in this thing.
Yeah.
So it's not exactly school choice in the sense that I meant it, where I just meant that you should be able to register your student at any school that you wanted that you could provide transport to.
Yeah.
Now, I did have people come to me after speaking events and say, you just want buses running all over the county? You can't afford that. It's like, no, I never said anything like that. Why in the world would you think I meant that the county should provide students transport to any school that they want?
That seems ridiculous. Yeah.
Yeah. The other thing, and there were some provisions within the bill to address this issue, although I think it's a non-issue, but it's a really important issue for, schools in Alabama, both at the high school and college level, which is, what about sports?
Yeah. Yeah.
So they maintain eligibility, et cetera. There's some limitations in that. And, you know, the most common thing that was said to me after these speaking engagements is that, well, you would just have one school get all the best football players and win state every year. I'm like, well, no.
Yeah, that's not how the market works in reality.
Yeah.
Because what will happen is the better players may choose to go to a certain school, but then a bunch of those players are going to choose to go to a different school because they're going to want to play.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, your three best quarterbacks are not going to all go to the same high school.
Yeah, they can't because they're all going to sit the – two of them are going to sit the bench.
Yeah. The other thing is that if you are one of the elite high school athletes, you want to stand out because you're looking for
– especially in high school.
Yeah, you're looking for college recruiters to say, oh, man, that guy.
Yeah.
So – you don't want to be at the school where all the other best players are anyway. You want to, you're incentivized to be a big fish in a little pond.
Exactly.
So, but to me, this is totally irrelevant anyway. Like, well, this has nothing to do with
it. I mean, there will be a lot of students that'll make decisions on where they go to school for sports.
Yeah.
But that's not necessarily a bad thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, if they're serious about pursuing college, they should make some decisions around that.
You actually have more of a problem with that with private schools.
Really?
Private schools will waive tuitions for good athletes to come play at their school instead of the public school and things like that. So you actually have more trouble with that with private schools than you do between public schools.
Yeah.
But again, to me, like, I don't care about the sports.
Yeah.
It's not the point.
Yeah.
And the... Go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, situations like my friend is in where she's got a kid that's not performing as well in the school that the kid is at now as the kid did in a different school. Mm-hmm. And I mean, clearly it's clearly an issue with the school. The kid needs to go to a different school. But I mean, right, as things stand right now, that's not an option.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Of course, one of the other issues I got was that everybody will go to the best school.
Yeah.
And then the people that just can't get transportation will be stuck at crappy schools. And I was like, but class size matters.
I was fixing to say that's the flip side to that mm-hmm. is, yeah, so then that crappy school all of a sudden has half as the number of students in it. And the education will get better when there's less students in the class, when the class size is smaller, you know. Yeah.
Sorry, that's one of those English things that gets me.
That bothers you.
Yeah, less and fewer. If you can count it, it's fewer. If they're indivisible entities, it's fewer. I mean, I guess humans are technically divisible, but you understand what I mean.
I do.
Which is why I love Publix. This is an interesting little aside. So almost every grocery store or big retail store, has the express lane. And almost all of them say 10 or 15 or
10 items or less.
Yeah. Publix actually does it correctly. And it says whatever the number is or fewer.
Or fewer. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, way to go. So I comment on it when I go through that lane too. And people are like, what? I didn't know that was a rule. I'm like, yeah, that's because education sucks. Well, this is why Choose Act is so good.
Right.
So I have some complaints about this, obviously, but it is a step in the right direction. It at least gives parents a little bit more control over the education of their children.
Yeah.
And it gives parents that might otherwise be left behind in this some resources to do this with, which I don't necessarily have a problem with. I have a problem with the state providing it, but
given the current situation of things.
Yeah. Given the current situation, it's certainly an improvement to allow students that live in poorer areas or come from poorer families to get out of the school district that they're in and go to a better school if they're somebody who's capable. And so I have problems with the accreditation though process through the state. Like, this is one of those things where the market will decide. And in fact, I just read an article recently about so West Virginia has done a school choice kind of thing with ESA, education savings accounts like this.
Yeah.
Also, and they've had a bunch of private schools fail.
Really?
And they're like, oh, this is such a problem. See what happens. See how terrible this is. All these schools fail. I'm like, no, that's the market at work.
Yeah.
Like, there you go. Bad schools failed. Now more money will go to good schools.
Exactly. I mean, that's what it is. Like, yeah. I say,
so schools will fail.
Yeah.
In this, and that's a good thing.
Yes. Yeah.
This is not a problem with the system. The problem with the system is that public schools never fail.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how bad they are. And in fact, they're incentivized in a lot of ways to do worse, because the worse they do, the more money they get.
Then they can get more resources. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now, they may have changed this, and I didn't check it before the podcast, but at least when I was running for Board of Education, there is like funding of schools in the public school system is partially based on the number of students.
Yeah.
So good schools that draw more students will get more money, and there's an incentive there to draw more students to get more money, especially in this kind of situation where
they have a choice.
Yeah. There's a problem with that though too. Like, I do worry, especially since this is, all right, there's a couple of things. First off, with the $7,000 per student ESA,
yeah,
$7,000 per student per year.
Yeah.
You have just set a floor to tuition.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's part of the reason tuition in college is so high.
Exactly.
Is, yeah. Once you start setting that floor, like, that's... Mm-hmm. That's the price.
Yeah, you get guaranteed money from the government. Whatever that amount is, there's no sense in anybody charging less than that.
Yeah, exactly.
And that may become, I mean, public schools will at least be regulated, I suppose, by the state still, by the same entity, so they may not raise their out-of-district additional costs or whatever. But private schools, you can pretty much guarantee that the least tuition any of them will charge is $7,000 a year.
Yeah.
And there were plenty that charged less than that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The other thing is that I worry that you run into the same problem that they've had with colleges, that with all this government money available, then the goal is just to draw as many students as possible.
Yeah.
And the way colleges have opted to do that is through amenities. And I can see high schools doing the same things. So not improving their education system, but offering better food and more like pools and workout rooms and like who knows what else. Extracurriculars that aren't necessarily education based that'll draw people in. Yeah. Those kind of things. So that's a concern also. As far as the accreditation process through the state, I just don't think it's necessary. Going back to poor schools failing, I think that people underestimate the desire for parents to provide the best for their kids.
Yeah.
You don't need the state to tell you which schools are good and which schools aren't. Like, the parents can figure that out on their own.
Oh, yeah.
They don't want to send their kids to bad. They're not going to pull their kid out of public school to send their kid to a worse school.
Yeah, right.
Even for the money.
Even even if they have a nice cafeteria, right?
Yeah. You start to wonder about some of those things. But there is a little bit more. I mean, so college students are making the choices purely on their own. So those amenities will be more of a draw to a college student. Well, not purely on their own, but
yeah,
they're more independent in making their school choice than high school kids are.
Oh, yeah.
High school kids, it's going to be the parents mostly that are making the decisions. College kids, it's going to be the students mostly that are making the decisions. So, yes, the amenities probably don't matter as much.
Yeah.
At the high school level, but it doesn't prevent it from being the draw. And, you know, of course, kids are still kids.
Oh, yeah. Last time I checked.
Mm-hmm. But I do think that they kind of underestimate the ability of the parent to make the determination for themselves what's best for their kid.
Yeah.
That bothers me too. But like the bulk of this, I guess, is that you still have a situation where government is controlling this. It's called the Choose Act, but the government couldn't give up control. And it's just another situation where the answer isn't actually to make more legislation, it's to make less.
Right.
It's, you know, remove government from the process, not to add more layers of government to the process. So,
yeah, and that's really what it sounds like this bill has done, is like they've added all of these new stipulations and they're letting you do something a little different, but there's all these stipulations on top of it. Mm-hmm. When the correct thing would have done is whatever legislation says you can't go to whatever school you want, remove that.
Exactly.
Like that would have been the like correct answer.
Mm-hmm. And so it still leaves a lot of opportunities for corruption.
Yeah.
Like I said, they did take away they didn't make it easy for parents to just do this so that they could get an extra $7,000 a year, because you can't pay the parents or the students directly.
Yeah.
But you still, So a couple of opportunities for corruption in this, because it's still a lot of money from the state.
Oh, yeah.
Like it's tax money from the state going into this program.
Yeah.
The state can contract private companies for services in order to execute the act.
Yeah.
Which means that they can still pay off their cronies,
mm-hmm.
their buddies, to do certain things using state money to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the big one, but there's still opportunities, of course, for parents to contract friends of theirs, and maybe even counter contract each other to do homeschooling and, you know, things like that, so that they're not paying themselves, but they're paying each other.
Yeah.
And those kind of things. I'm not nearly as concerned about that, though, as I am about just the state, the politically connected getting contracts to do things as part of this act and,
you know,
for friends to be paid off. There's some opportunity, though, here for the clever entrepreneur starting small private schools to draw students in.
Yeah.
Like, if I knew enough people, I would like to do that.
Yeah.
I would love to start a school for for kids. Like, let me give you some real education here. Like, prepare you for college.
Yeah. Yeah. And the real world.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what happens. I don't think that this was the right move exactly, but I think it's a move in the right direction.
Yeah. At least it's a step forward.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens. I'm sure there will be a lot of criticisms going forward.
Yeah.
And, some of them will be legitimate.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to follow and kind of see where we end up with mm-hmm. it. See if things do get better.
Yeah. So then there was a federal, moving to the federal level.
All right.
There was a House bill, passed, demanding that ByteDance divest itself from TikTok.
Did it pass both houses?
To my knowledge, it has not gone through the Senate yet. As of Thursday, today's Saturday. I didn't check yesterday, but as of Thursday, it had not passed the Senate.
Yeah, I know. I knew Biden said he would sign it if it made it through, but I didn't. I knew it was hung up somewhere.
Yeah, there's a lot of confidence that like 70 senators would vote yes, so it would pass the Senate if it if it's raised there.
Yeah.
This is terrible and ridiculous.
Oh, come on! You're a Chinese spy. That's what you are.
Exactly. that's my concern is that the Chinese government will no longer get access to dance videos.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I mean there is a little bit more to it than that, of course.
No, there absolutely is.
But it is a blatant violation of the First Amendment.
Yeah.
It is a blatant violation of the First Amendment. Not so much abridging freedom of speech, but abridging freedom of the press.
Yeah.
Because the press does not mean journalists. I mean, at the time that this was written, the press meant the printing press. It meant the ability to reproduce and distribute content. That the Congress shall make no law abridging the ability to reproduce and distribute content.
Yeah. And that's literally what this platform is.
That's all it does.
Yeah. I mean, there's a little more to it than that with the algorithms and stuff, but
go ahead, tell me.
I mean, it's just, you know, I mean, the argument is that the Chinese are just feeding us garbage as far as like content goes and just like trying to dumb down the society.
Yeah.
No, I'm not saying we need to ban TikTok. So don't take me wrong, but that's the argument from the other side. The other argument I've heard is that, well, that the Chinese don't let U.S. companies just sell apps in their country. So why should we let them do that? I've also heard...
The Chinese are killing their babies. We should definitely do that. Well, I mean, come on. It's the same kind of argument.
Well, I was going to say, another thing that I've heard
Let's
a lot...
Let's be more like China.
Well, yeah. Well, that goes to the other thing that I've heard a lot is, you know, we shouldn't be letting the Chinese come to this country and buy property because they won't let us come over to their country and buy property. I'm like... Mm. But all I want to say is like, yeah, like we're a free country. Yeah. They're not. Like, I mean, so yeah, I don't understand like the arguments, like, oh, so they're like this totalitarian regime, like, so that's what we should be too? Mm-hmm. Like,
well, I mean, that was the argument during COVID.
It was. Well, and like I say, I mean, they did it during COVID, so mm-hmm.
Well, what I keep hearing is that there's, you know, due to intelligence laws in China, China could demand that ByteDance provide all U.S. user data to the Communist Party of China, and that this is a national security threat.
Yeah.
Somebody tell me why.
Well, I got news for you.
Uh-huh.
We're doing the same thing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, all this information is widely available. It's not like, unless you only use TikTok,
yeah,
the Chinese government has other ways to get that exact same data.
Well, yeah. And like I say, Facebook and all of these other groups, they're doing the same thing. And mm-hmm. they're turning that crap right over to the federal government.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, so it's no different. The difference is the Chinese have it, not us.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what the... And
well, it's not even about that. They don't really... That's not... It's a smokescreen.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Or a red herring, whatever the appropriate term would be.
Yeah.
That's not really the
issue.
So
then what's really going on here?
I think what's really going on is that the U.S. government doesn't have any control over TikTok.
Ah.
The U.S. government has some control over Instagram and Facebook and Twitter or X, whatever.
You make a good point there because that, and we do have an election around the corner here.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right because it's kind of been hammered out. These social media companies have a lot of power when it comes to just the algorithms they use and the information they kind of send you to kind of help you make decisions and whatnot. Like, there's a lot of control there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's definitely, like I say, that in the hands of the Chinese is not something that we want, that the U.S. wants.
Yeah, I suppose. But seriously,
Donald Trump won an election on Twitter. Like, I'm just saying. Like, and the powers that be don't want that to happen again. And they certainly don't want the Chinese using a weapon like that.
Yeah, I don't know that it's that much of a weapon. I don't think it's that influential. You say that he won an election on Twitter. I mean, Twitter certainly allowed him to bypass the press that was trying to gatekeep.
Yeah. No, that's true.
But it's not like he didn't have a following or support. And it's not like he wouldn't have built it without Twitter. He would have just found some other way around the press.
I mean,
the problem there was the press, not Twitter.
No, 100%. I agree with that.
You know, it was the press that was trying to censor and eliminate him. It wasn't Twitter.
Yeah.
I mean, at some point. They weren't trying to eliminate him. They were trying to censor him and make him look bad. He was still good TV. I shouldn't say it like...
Yeah.
That they didn't want him on TV. They did want him on TV, but they wanted him to...
Well, I'll tell you
this. They
wanted
to control the opinion of him.
He's on TV a lot less now.
Yeah.
That may change as we go into this next, or we get closer here.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I remember...
Lesson learned?
Yeah. Well, I remember, like, 2016, like, they were airing his speeches all over the place.
Yeah.
Like, you could turn on the TV, flip a few channels, and find the Trump speech all the time.
Yeah, until
that
at some point they would interrupt it and say, it is irresponsible for us to carry all this disinformation.
Well, they didn't really do that in 2016, though.
I guess that's true. I don't really remember.
That happened after he was elected, where they started trying to, like, fact-check in real time, mm-hmm. like all of that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it's persisted. But now they just don't play him that much.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not to say they never play him, but it ain't like it was, I promise.
Well, there's a couple of things that I think are involved in this. Now, first off, I do want to be fair and say that there was one person has been able to give me a legitimate reason that the Communist Party of China getting access to TikTok user data could be a security threat.
Okay.
And it's blackmail.
Yeah. No, I agree with that.
Essentially you sign over access to these apps through the EULAs to access everything on your phone. Nobody ever reads this stuff. And in fact, the longer the EULA, the less likely people are to read it.
Oh, yeah. People aren't reading that.
So with access to photos and everything else, that even though the government has said that you can't use TikTok on your personal phone, or I mean, sorry, on your government issue phone. Some people are going to carry a second phone where they can do it. Also, they have access to your wife's data, potentially your kid's data,
yeah,
which can be used for blackmail.
Yeah.
Now, I have always said I am way more concerned with my own government doing that to me than the Communist Party of China doing that to me.
Yeah.
But I can see where that could be a potential security threat.
Yeah.
I think that the real issue here actually is the election, and at least a portion of that is the Israel-Palestine situation.
Okay.
And because that is the most divisive issue within the Democrat Party.
Oh, without question.
And TikTok is mostly younger people who are more likely to support Palestine. And there's been studies that have shown that the pro-Palestine data on TikTok far outweighs pro-Israel data on TikTok.
Yeah, I would believe that.
And that could have a huge impact on the support for Joe Biden among younger people.
Yeah.
Now, most people, I think, are probably not voting.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that there's, and I would bet that if you did the same kind of research on like Facebook, you would find pro-Israel to be far more prevalent than pro-Palestine because it's generally older people.
Yeah.
This is a generational issue more than anything.
Yeah.
But it is an incredibly divisive issue for the Democrat Party. So I think that that's a big part of it.
Yeah.
And it just, it should tell you though, something that's interesting about our political system here. Cause the Russian elections are going on right now.
Oh yeah. They're all weekend, right?
Yep. They started yesterday. They run through tomorrow. So one of the big things out there has been, the candidates available on the ballot have been severely limited by the ruling regime in Russia.
Yeah.
Cause there's, I don't remember. There's like six candidates, something like that.
Yeah. Well, the only one that had a chance to win is dead. So.
Oh, right. Yeah. Navalny ran for mayor of, I wonder if people know this. So Navalny ran for mayor of Moscow, which is actually generally more progressive, more left-leaning than most of the rest of the country, and still only got a tiny percentage of the vote. I think it was less than 20% of the vote.
Wow.
More recent polls about him in Russia have shown that that he only had support of like 1% of the population. I mean, he was way more popular in the West than he was in Russia.
Well, it's funny because I've heard that statement that I just made all over the mainstream news.
Oh, no. That's absolutely ridiculous.
And I laugh every time.
No chance.
I laugh every time I hear it because I'm just like, that's just blatantly not true.
You know, the biggest threat to, this is another interesting, in respect to history, the biggest threat to Putin and Putin's party in Russia is the Communist Party in Russia.
Really?
Yes. That's the next biggest party.
Really?
Yeah. Huh.
Yeah.
They're his, what's the word that we're using for the people that we don't, they're the countries that we don't like here. They're, antagonist is the only thing I can think of, but that's not what I mean. Yeah. They're his biggest rival.
Like, yeah.
They are
people. So there's a movement of people that want to go back to communism.
Oh yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I figured after surviving that, I mean, there's a movement for that here. So I'm not, I mean, I'm not like shocked, but I did figure after, you know, escaping it, they might not want to go back to it.
They might be younger people too. I don't know. It might not be people wanting to go back to it. It might be people that think it sounds awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. That weren't alive when it was going on.
Yeah. I mean, it has been 30 years.
It has been. I mean, that checks out. Like, yeah. That would make some sense.
But anyway, the point I was going to make is that you only have two choices here.
Yeah.
And they're carefully considered.
Yeah, exactly.
So if you're when we vote in November, the only two candidates that have a possibility of winning, most likely, are both pro-war.
Yep.
And they are absolutely both on board for war in Israel against Gaza.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a stark distinction that we really need to make apparent.
Yeah.
Is that if you're against what's going on in Israel right now, mm-hmm. there's not a candidate that supports you.
Yeah. There's no representation of the major candidates.
Anyway. Of the major candidates. Yeah. And particularly,
Can vote for Jill Stein. You can vote for the libertarian candidate, whoever it's going to be. It's almost certainly going to be somebody that's against the war in Gaza. But
yeah. I mean, that's, like I say, that's really it. And the whole two parties to represent, I mean, it's a farce. And what kills me about it the most is that the government, like, is so complicit in the duopoly.
Yeah.
Like,
and there's going to be some people saying out there right now saying, oh, you think that the politics is better in Russia? No.
Yeah.
That's not my point.
Yeah. My point is it sucks here.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. The point isn't that, well, their system is better. The point, in fact, I don't care about their system.
Yeah. I don't have to live under it.
I don't have to live under
it. I don't have to live next to it.
That's not my vote. I don't care. My point is that the system here is a problem, and it's my system.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But... and then on the Ukraine issue, you still have some two people that are pro-war. Trump is slightly less warmongery.
Well, he's changed his tune since he left office, but a lot of what's going on in Ukraine right now is because of him.
Yeah, it's because he allowed shipments of weapons.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know what he thought would actually. I don't think that he thought forward what would happen. It was just like, oh, this is a good deal for American businesses, blah blah blah, because that's how he. That made is decisions. How he,
yeah.
And then maybe you have RFKJ, and he's slightly less warmongery.
Yeah.
But even him, he's on board with the war in Israel.
I was going to say, he's all in for Israel. So, like I say, that's not representative.
This is unavoidable. No matter who you vote for, they're going to keep selling weapons to Israel.
Yeah. And while there is a lot of support in this country, because the argument I can hear some people making is, well, there's so much support in this country for Israel, that's the reason there's not another representation. Mm-hmm. And there is a lot of support for Israel in this country. That's just kind of what it is. But it's not absolute. Like, there are a lot of people who are where me and you are, where it's not that we necessarily are pro... I mean, it's not that I'm anti-Palestinian. It's just like we need to come to a reasonable... solution here.
Yeah. Well, I mean, killing people's not the answer.
Yeah.
Which hopefully we're starting to learn in Ukraine, but it's hard to tell.
No, it's very hard to tell.
I'm not anti-Israel. Now, I have some really major criticisms for the Israeli government.
Yeah.
But I don't have a problem with the existence of a Jewish state and so forth. Absolutely. I don't think it has a right to exist because states don't have rights. I will say that over and over again.
Yeah.
But I don't have a problem with it, you know, with Israel being there. The problem is the human rights record with dealing with the Palestinians. Those people are either a part of your country or they're not. If they're not, let them go. If they are, give them rights.
Yeah.
That's how simple this question is, really.
Yeah.
In terms of like the moral stance on the Israeli question.
Absolutely.
I had something and I lost it. It just slipped right away.
That's a shame because I felt like it was going to be good.
Yeah, I was really ranting well there. Yeah. What was it? Oh, no, I can't think of what I was going to say. Oh, well. That's a good time. Maybe it'll come to me as I talk about the next thing. On that same line, you remember South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem?
Yeah.
All right. She's really popular.
During COVID.
Among the conservatives during COVID, because she never placed any restrictions, no requirements, no mandates, no restrictions.
Unlike DeSantis, who did and then like...
Well, at least he rolled it back.
He got good on it, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, Noem was good the whole time, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But she just signed into law... a bill criminalizing anti-Semitism.
Oh, I did hear. That was her? I didn't realize that was her. What a shame.
Criminalizing anti-Semitism, and it is the version of anti-Semitism that we've seen pushed around this country at least since before Trump's presidency, that includes any criticism of the Israeli government as anti-Semitism.
Hmm. So it's a good thing we don't live in South Dakota.
Yeah, even the no kidding. We broadcast there though.
Oh yeah, just watch my mouth.
Yeah. So even the good Republicans suck. Just like the good Democrats. Even the good Democrats suck, like RFK Jr.
Yeah.
There's just no.
Well, it's the reason you can't depend on the two-party system. Like, it's got to be bigger than that. The choices have to be bigger than just two.
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, you can be like the libertarians. We're right about everything, but
exactly. Yeah. I am, I guess officially going to be, an alternate delegate in DC in May.
Oh, nice.
So, I talked to our state chair yesterday or the day before.
So you're just now handling that.
Well, no, I sent him a text right before the state
convention.
Yeah. He didn't respond. I imagine he was pretty busy. But when I talked to him yesterday, he was like, "Oh yeah, you're already on the list. You sent me that message saying that you wanted to be a delegate. So I put you up as an alternate, when we were at the convention." And I was like, "Oh, okay. Well, you're awesome. Thanks."
He is very on top of things.
Yeah, he is. So, but I didn't know. I had to talk to him first.
Yeah.
So, anyway, that hasn't been submitted yet. I knew I had some time still.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
But I'm on the list. And everybody that says that they're going to show up when they go to the state convention, they're like, "Yeah, I'm going to be a delegate at national. I'm definitely going to DC." Like half of them.
Half
don't
of them
go.
Will show. Yeah, exactly.
So I don't think it'll be an issue.
Yeah. I wish I could make it.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah. Like DC
is a fun city anyway.
Never been to DC. I wouldn't mind going sometime. No, I never went. Like your brother kept trying.
Your hobby is talking about American politics, and you've never been to the center of the federal government.
No, your brother tried for years, and I wanted to go. It just never worked out.
Yeah. So for the record, my brother lived in DC for like 8 years or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, and he knew the city well. He'd definitely be the person to go with. Like I say,
especially at that time.
Yeah, back then for sure.
Yeah.
So I missed opportunity, man.
Before he quit drinking, before he had kids.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, well, man. No, it didn't come back to me, whatever it was that I had to say about that.
Yeah.
But the point is that banning TikTok is ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, it really is on so many levels. Like, I mean, to me, that's one of the most anti-American things you can want to do. Not just to ban, like the whole idea of banning things is just un-American to me.
Force the sale of a company
Because that's what they're actually pushing for, is they want another company to buy it and blah blah blah. But I mean, like I say, the point stands, like banning stuff is just not American.
Yeah. I was talking to the tech guy at my office too. I was like, well, even if they, because what it does is it actually bans the app in
the app store.
In the app stores.
Yeah.
And I said, well, can't you just then like not get the app and just go straight to it on your web browser on your phone? And he said, no, all that stuff's done through IP. They can just shut off any IPs that lead to TikTok in this country.
My initial reaction was, if you already have the app, you'd be good. Mm-hmm. But that's not how it works either. Like, I guess they still
get removed. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, it will. I mean, it may still show up
at least in Apple. I don't know how that works with Google.
I don't know how. I've never owned I've only had Apple.
Yeah.
But like I say, all the support and stuff runs through the store. So like I say, if they remove it from the store, it's not going to work on your phone. Hmm. So at least that's my understanding.
Well, I guess I really need to get on re-carpeting these other pads for the cat tree in the back of my house in front of the window, because I got a new one and the little platforms are smaller.
Yeah.
My cats don't use it.
They don't want nothing to do with it.
In fact, the one has just climbed on the one next door so that he can get this like oblique angle through the window without having to get on the new platform.
Yeah. They want nothing to do with that thing.
I know. I don't understand. It's not that much smaller.
Yeah. Which is a shame, because the little platforms are shaped like fish.
They are. That's the problem. I don't know.
Your cats hate fish.
They definitely don't. Well, it depends on what you mean.
Okay. They hate fish platforms.
They are not disinterested in fish. They may hate them.
Oh, yeah.
But they are not disinterested.
That's fair.
My previous cat was allergic to fish meal.
Really?
Which made it very difficult to buy cat food. That was a problem
finding cat food, yeah.
I was that guy, like, in the pet food aisle in the supermarket, like, reading the ingredients. Because I couldn't bring it home if it had fish meal in it. He'd get scabs all over him, and it was terrible. Skin allergy.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess that's it. Yeah, you got anything more?
I don't think so.
So, to summarize, Choose Act, not great, but better than what was.
Yeah. Better than the status quo.
Yeah. TikTok ban, ridiculous. Christy Noem, all politicians suck.
Yeah, right.
I think that's a good summary.
I think that's that pretty well sums up.
That might be the summary when I write
when
it up.
When you do it, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so we expect to be back next week. Sorry for the delay again this week. Hopefully that'll stop.
Yeah.
We will see.
Yeah, we'll see.
Except to Liberty Larry.
Hopefully my life gets better.
Yeah.
My work life, at least. My regular life's great.
Well, hopefully that gets better too.
Yeah, but it's still pretty good. Okay. If the work life gets better, everything else will be better too.
I'm sure that's true. All right. So follow us on Facebook. You can subscribe on iTunes, YouTube, Podbean, not TikTok.
Yeah, not yet.
Like and share, comment, subscribe, leave reviews. You can always contact me at michael@thelibertymike.com, especially if you want to pay for the podcast.
Yeah, right.
I accept all donations. Actually, I really need to set something up for that.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say, how you accepting them donations there, buddy?
Yeah, that's, well.
Can I Venmo you?
Contact me and I'll let you know. Right. Figure something out.
Send it all in Bitcoin.
Yeah. I could use a Bitcoin. I definitely should have.
What in Bitcoin a year would cover this podcast?
That's absolutely true. Well, right now.
Right.
I should have bought some Bitcoin when I was planning to, when I sold my condo.
Yeah.
It was like.
Wish I bought some when it came out.
Then. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, we're closing up, so this is weird to keep talking about this. This is definitely something that could go on off mic, but I'm going to tell anyway. So there was a guy that I used to play cards with years and years ago who, what he did was mine Bitcoin.
Really? Yeah.
And this is when Bitcoin was like a couple $100 maybe, something like that.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know what Bitcoin was at that time.
Yeah.
So this is, I don't know, this is a while back. How long have I been here? I mean, this is probably 12 years ago, something like that.
Yeah.
I wonder now, and he was young.
Yeah.
he was like in his early 20s then, so he'd probably be in his, mid 30s now.
Yeah.
Like, had, I don't know how many Bitcoin that he'd mined for, and that at that time were worth a couple $100 maybe.
Yeah. Hopefully he held on to them.
Yeah.
Till the right moment.
Like, I wonder what happened to him. And like, yeah. I wonder if he's just like living on an island that he bought somewhere or something.
It's possible.
He should have. I wish he'd talked me into Bitcoin at the time, because I was skeptical. Because I'm a skeptical person.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know about this thing.
I remember when Bitcoin was at like 500 a coin.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, like I considered buying one. I was like, or actually I considered buying a pair. If I was going to do it, I was going to get two and throw down the grand on this like thing that I couldn't see or touch. Mm-hmm. And it was like, man, that's like a lot of money for something that I can't like physically have.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, in retrospect now, like, it's like, man, like if I bought two for a grand.
Yeah. I'm still not on board with Bitcoin. It's going to fall again.
I'm sure it will. I mean, it fluctuates. It fluctuates too much to be
a like currency.
Yeah. It's got to be stable.
It's worse than living in Venezuela.
Yeah, right. I mean, not that our currency is that stable, but. It's
comparatively?
Comparatively, yes.
It's incredibly stable.
Okay. I mean, I don't,
comparatively, our currency is incredibly stable. Yeah. That's why Malay in Argentina
stapled his currency to ours,
to the U.S. dollar.
Yeah.
I mean, he could have stapled it to
Bitcoin. Yeah, but that would have been a bad idea.
But that would have been a terrible idea. You need a stable currency, and the most stable currency in the world is the U.S. dollar.
Except for it keeps losing its value.
Well, it does, but That's okay. controllable, actually, too. Just yeah. don't have a government smart enough to do it.
No, fair
just enough. Just keep making the same mistake over and over again. They yeah. believe in the inflationary economy because they live in debt.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's the only way to... It seems like, at least, that's the only way to keep all this afloat. Because the debt's so out of control. Like, well, if we were in a deflationary economy, that huge debt that the government's carrying would just get huger. I'm not that's not already getting huger, but exponentially.
Yeah, it would, except that it would be easier for business. I mean, I guess the idea is that business can plan on a 2% inflation every year. And inflation is good for business.
Yeah.
It's bad for consumers.
Yeah, which is what we are.
Deflation is good for consumers, but business can deal with deflation as long as it's...
They know.
As long as they can prepare for it.
Yeah.
The problem with the Fed is that it's arbitrary. It's not a market.
Yeah.
And so anybody that complains about, you know, capitalism and the failure of capitalism in this country, the problem that you have to realize, this is way off topic right at the end of the podcast, I know, but the thing you have to realize is that our entire economy is based on not a free market.
Yeah.
That the whole monetary system is a controlled economy.
Yeah.
Which has proven over and over again to fail.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
So, yeah. All right. And on that note, weren't we trying to finish with something positive for a while? Like,
yeah. Well, Bitcoin's up.
Yeah, okay. There you go. All right. So we'll be back next week when we finally get this right. And in the meantime, try to stay free.
Life short, live free.
Ciao.
Later.